On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
I never met a new ad format I didn't like, but they are doing weird things over there.
Microsoft Ads announces a new ad format with an API potential for publishers who build chat into their site, an opportunity to monetize.
Ayo, Google actually has a lot of search news this year from I.O.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I'm Jessica Lee Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on May 12th, 2023. You got me here, folks, because Shep is out making a baby. I don't think she's making it. Maybe by the time you hear this. Yeah. You think so? Your prediction is she made the baby by the time...
Oh, well, I mean, baby making takes a long time, and she's at the end. She's either officially made the baby, or it's, like, pretty much made, just waiting to come out of the oven.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she's in process of making the baby, so we have the wonderful Nicole Waddington here. What's going on with you, Nicole?
I'm just thriving. I'm coming off of a trip, and I had the best flight I've ever had before.
Whoa.
Wow.
I slept the entire way. I have all this leg room because I'm short, and I was traveling with my mom. She did not have a great flight, and she did not enjoy herself because she didn't sleep at all. And so I'm just well rested and ready to be on the show.
How do you sleep on a plane? I never understood that.
One time I did it, I like was super drunk because we got stuck at the airport. And I fell asleep on you, and it was really embarrassing because we were new in our working relationship.
I don't even remember.
So it was pretty easy, yeah.
I saw some like gizmo that somebody was selling where like you strap your head up into a pillow and you go around the back so your like head is stuck. And I'm like, maybe that'd work.
I don't know.
I bought this like inflatable thing that you like stick your hands into the middle and then you like lay down.
That's
and your
nice.
Head
that's
into, like,
nice.
A portal. Yeah. But it still didn't work for me. I don't know. What's up with you, Jess?
Y'all know I'm raising my son, right?
Yes. You already made that game.
I made him. And so we were chatting over dinner the other day. We were just sitting there eating our food, talking about life. He was telling me that one of his friends at school, his tooth is loose and it's coming out. And he's like, he has to go to get new ones at the dentist. I'm like, no. When your baby teeth fall out, you get new teeth. And he goes, well, the dentist has like shiny teeth. I'm like, yeah, if you need a tooth replaced, you could do that. And he says to me, I have an exact quote here because I wrote it down. Mom, all my teeth are breaking. I need all the gold teeth.
Wow. You should go ahead and do that.
It would be so proud of him.
Such a life hack if you went and when his teeth fell out, you replaced them early when he couldn't remember it with gold teeth that will never rot, never decay, never have an issue. Probably don't even need to brush them.
Probably not.
No, you probably need to brush them.
I don't know. Gold does tarnish, yeah. I guess.
But maybe
I
just, polish them.
Maybe.
There you go.
But I just love that that's his goal in life right now. He's like 3.5 years old, on four. Just replace him with gold teeth.
Let me get a full grill here, you know, before I'm even potty trained. All right. And for me, I'm just busy. And I don't understand why we're not trying to fix this problem. Because I see a fix to this problem. So obviously we have a business here that we're busier than we have ever been. Just in general, we've got huge projects, all this stuff. We have a podcast. We're making tutorials. I have an unbelievable amount of sports in my life. I'm a soccer coach. So we have multiple games a week, practices a week. My kids are both on two baseball teams. So I have 2 to 4 games a week and 2 practices a week. I'm doing a bunch of SMX stuff, keynotes, all these different things. And it's just, and then like trying to like do dating and stuff like that. It's just so busy.
This seems self-inflicted, the majority of it.
A lot of it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a good dad. I'm trying to be a good dad.
I didn't mean that part.
Okay.
And all your other extracurriculars.
But I'm like, there's an easy answer here. We're all trying to get to Mars. We're trying to get like into space and all this stuff. Why can't we figure out how to not sleep anymore? We need to make you productive on that plane. How are we not trying to research a way that our body doesn't need sleep?
That's hard, though. I feel like we could do better by making other things automated so we could sleep in the car on our commute, not have to drive, just catch a nap.
But I think about, I mean, there's a fraction, like not even on the radar, but like how busy Elon Musk is. Like, he isn't even like attempting to fix sleep. Sleep is a problem. It's officially a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when I get into it. Sleep.
But if you always felt that good, would you like it?
No, I'd probably rather do more shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sleep's a problem. And now on to the main news this week. Just about an hour ago, Google I.O. happened. And this was the first I.O. in a while where search was sort of at the forefront of it. There was a lot of announcements out there, some Bard we'll get into, and also just like a lot of looks that I would say are overly positive were sort of my takeaways on the implementation of it. And then there was like a little bit of talk of ads, but there wasn't a really good plan there. But first up, Bard is getting tools, not the band, that's different services with Google and extensions with partners. So one of those is like images, like it's going to be able to pull on Google Images. An example that they showed were what are some must-see sites in New Orleans. And one item I loved about it is you can see there's an example of the French Quarter. And right underneath it, it says the location that it came from. So if I look at like the Garden District, I can see it's from TripAdvisor. So it does seem like there's a thought about citations now and getting people off to where that information lives. Because if there's no traffic to publishers, basically the web's going to explode. People are going to start blocking all the AI. Twitter's already doing it. Reddit's trying to do it as well. So like that's a really good thing. Additionally, Lens is coming to Bard. There's an example with two dogs up on screen, and the woman that talked through it said, are you looking to have fun with your fur babies? You might upload a picture and ask Bard to write a funny caption about the two. I'm like, is this the point that we're at, that we can't come up with our own captions and you need...
People don't have time. They're busy.
Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
So if you can't get some neuron activity in your brain... You can ask it for, and it was okay. It was like, which one's the bad boy or something, or I don't know, whatever.
Ew.
Yeah. It also, there was a really nice demonstration of if you were interested in video games and you want to know different college degrees that might be there for you. And then it kind of strung a bunch of additional queries together or conversations together. So that said, oh, if you like this art degree, what schools are here in Pennsylvania? Can I see it on a map? Cool. Can you put it into a table? Can I export it into sheets so I can send it to somebody? And you can say, like, in the table, please tell me what is public or private. So it does look pretty nice. I don't know how much of it is real because Bard kind of looked cool, even though it got everything wrong on the initial announcement. Bard has been unusable, at least for me. So hopefully this is much more usable. And then one of the really cool things is some of the integrations that it seems like are coming out. So another example was that a child likes unicorns and cakes for a birthday party. They're looking to make an image of a cake and a unicorn. And Bard tapped into Google Firefly to come up with a bunch of different options there. So sort of like Mind Journey, but just all of it in Bard. Additionally, they're removing the wait list, and it's going to be available for 180 countries and territories and will soon support 40 languages. So quite a bit of enhancements to Bard, and there's also some big enhancements to search. As we know, Bard is not search, search is not Bard, but there is generative AI coming to search, and this also looks pretty cool. So they say it's simpler and smarter than ever before. They're going to bring together the deep understanding of information that Google has along with generative AI, and it'll answer questions you never thought could be answered, essentially. And an example that they gave was, what is a good hike in Utah if you've got three kids, I think, and a pet? And it pulled up a bunch of examples. The only thing that I didn't think was great, it said the input asked, what is a good hike if you have three kids and a dog? And it gave an example that dogs aren't allowed, which is weird. It says pets aren't allowed on any trails. So it gives you a couple examples, but only one is. It does say that up front. It says both Bryce Canyon and Arches National Park are family friendly, although both parks prohibit dogs on unpaved trails. But then it goes through to say pets aren't allowed on any trails with Arches. So it's one of those things that, like, it'll probably get better as you go on, but you can't really trust it at face value, but it can get you maybe 80, 85% of the way.
And it did still surface useful information. It didn't answer the question, but it let you know that pet-related stuff. It's getting there.
Right. Like, it looked at face value, if you didn't read it and didn't fully consume the information, you might be sent astray, but whatever, it seems good. And then the other thing that's nice is there are citations, so you can get in and see, like, hey, here's why Bryce Canyon, the kids and youth program, and you can jump right to that and see, like, why it might be more kid friendly. Additionally, there's other ways that you can see how the information is corroborated, was the word they said. Hey, good word.
Good word.
And it basically pulls up all the different points where the information came from. So this is a huge win, I would say, for publishers. It'll say, here's the information that came about the dogs and the paths and the rim trail, and you get a couple options, and then you can see where the other information was sourced from. So I think not only from a Google safety and just legal standpoint, this is huge, but also for publishers. Everybody must be breathing a huge sigh of relief from seeing this. They then went on to kind of look at this from a commerce perspective and typed in, what's a good bike for a 5-mile commute with hills? One of the results was that you might want an electric bike, and it showed a bunch of different bikes out here. And it talks about, like, why you want to look at the design, the motor, the suspension, and a whole bunch of other things. And then the example, they said, well, show me one in red right afterwards. And it surfaced one in red, which was cool. And they did address ads, which is not what usually happens at I.O. So they said the ads will still show in a clear sponsored format above the answers here. And if you look on screen, you can see a selection of electric bikes. Actually, they're not all electric bikes. One of the ads is an electric bike. But you'll be able to see those above with a sponsored label. And they said they're exploring different ways to integrate the ads for commercial queries. So right now it seems like it is outside of that generative AI answers, but maybe down the road it will be. And again, that conversational mode allows you to follow up with questions. It also works on mobile. Another example is about a woman whose daughter liked whales. And they said, why do whales sing? And then the next one was, can you see them in California? And it showed where you could see whales in California. And basically, the next input was, can you buy a plush under $40? My thought was,
I hope so.
$40?
For a plush? Are you at the aquarium?
$40 on a whale plush?
You could buy a real whale for $60.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, $60. At least one.
And you could name it.
You could.
Yeah, telecom.
WWF.
All right. And additionally, there was a new item called Within Search Labs. You can go sign up for it. I believe it's a beta or whatever they call it. And it's called Search Generative Experience, or SGE. Is like other search experiences where it will highlight and drive attention to content on the web, and it makes it easy for people to dive deeper on topics that they're always learning about. And if you want to see this, they called it Search Supercharged overall. So again, I'd say overall, this is pretty promising. The citations, it actually looks cool. It's a different color, which is nice too. So you know that you're you're in, like, this experimental feature. So I dig it. And then there were some other announcements, a couple things just of note. There's going to be generative AI in Gmail called Help Me Write, because we can't come up with anything anymore.
Help me.
And you can say, ask for a refund. You type that prompt in and it'll be like, hey, Delta Airlines, my flight was canceled due to this. Can you please give me a refund for X amount of dollars based off, like, email and stuff like that, which seems kind of cool. But it's also annoying if you have to get those fake emails from people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those calls. Those calls seem like they're good, but nobody wants to talk to a robot on the phone. So whatever. Also, if you look at maps, there's now an immersive view for routes. It's pretty awesome.
Routes. Just an alternate take. I don't know.
Cool. Hot take. So if you want to see a route/route for a bike ride, there is an example in New York City where you can look and say, should I go by the water or should I go in the city? And it's like, here's what it looks like. And it zooms in. You can see there's all these trees. There's a dedicated bike path. Really cool. Also a magic editor where you can make photos fake, basically. So you're like, oh, this photo stinks. I want to color the balloons and the sky's dark. I'm going to make it blue. And I had a bag on in the photo. I don't want the bag there.
Take your bag off.
I'm with you. I hate fake photos. I don't like filtered photos. I don't like doctored photos. I don't know why everything has to be so perfect anymore. You see this picture of a girl in balloons, and then they just totally change it and make it look like Willy Wonka.
Ugh.
You know?
The Johnny Depp version, blown out and disgusting.
You don't like the Johnny Depp version?
Nope.
Wow.
Gene Hackman. Oh my God, not Gene Hackman. Gene Wilder.
Wow. R.I.P.
Not, yeah.
Both of them. Both the genes. Mm. And a Cheech and Chong.
They are alive!
Debatable. And there's also Palm 2 coming out there. So a lot of information at Google I.O. You can go catch the entire keynote on YouTube. I would definitely check it out if you're interested. A bunch of the integrations look really cool, especially some of the shopping stuff. And like that Wales example was cool, I thought. So... if you missed it, I would go back and consume.
All right. And news and paid, different platform, but more AI. Earlier this week, Microsoft announced a new API, Ads for Chat API, which will allow publishers, online services, and apps to deliver ads through chat. So sites and apps can customize their chat experience using ad formats that work best for them and incorporate relevant ads for their audiences. This gives publishers who build chats on their sites or app an opportunity to monetize using learnings from Microsoft advertising on how to serve relevant ads in the chat and a new way for advertisers to reach and engage with audiences in a way that's organic, personalized, and contextually relevant. So this flexibility offered by APIs allows for customized ad formats, enabling advertisers to optimize campaigns based on their target audience and native experience, ensuring that advertising efforts remain effective and non-intrusive. It is worth noting that it's unclear whether this is only going to be open to start program partners, but seems kind of cool, new ad format.
Yeah, and there wasn't a ton specifically around like the API and the integration. Mm-hmm. It sort of was just like an announcement, which is cool. They're thinking through it. But if you're interested in more on this, at SMX Advance, there is a keynote on, I believe it is Wednesday, with the corporate vice president of Microsoft Advertising, Kaya Sansbury Carter, and your boy, Greg Finn, running the keynote, and you can check it out for free, searchengineland.com/SMX. It is completely free, and you can go sign up, and we'll get into it a little bit more and hopefully get some more details.
All right, so it's not AI and it's not API, but AR. Are you ready for this?
Wow.
I know. It took me all morning to write that one. Okay, lots of news from Meta this week. We'll start with something that they previewed at the IAB NewFronts late last week. AR ads for Instagram Reels and Facebook Stories. These are aimed at reaching younger audiences, aka Gen Z, and it was tested with Sephora, who ran an ad that had used, you're going to love this, Greg. They had users press their thumb to the screen to generate an aura vibe filter to help them pick the best fitting fragrance and make a purchase. So we're using AR to pick perfume. It's not smell-o-vision. It's kind of stupid.
This might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I know.
I've never even understood those perfume commercials. Like, how am I supposed to know what you in this little silky dress smells like?
Yeah. They're selling the essence, the aura,
the vibe.
The vibe, yeah.
The vibe.
I'm sorry.
It's the worst use for AR I've ever heard in my life.
I can't taste what that flavor is.
You don't want to taste ad. Perfume. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
the
I don't know what your flavor is. Yeah. In a TV ad for perfume or cologne.
I know. It's a Cologne. Oh, sorry. I'm going to be on you for your pronunciation today. Okay. So anyway, AR.
What is it? Did you look at the example of this? Like, what happens if you put your thumb on it?
It's like just a lady with pink on her. Like, get over yourself.
But does it show like flowers or something?
And not in the screenshot that I saw, but I looked really fast because I didn't really give a It's not the biggest part of news.
So but, you put your finger down on the phone and you smell it?
No, it's not smell-o-vision. It just creates an aura so you can be like, that's the perfume I want.
Oh, I know. I see what you're saying. It just says in the example, your vibe is confident, warm, woodsy.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
But you still need to go and smell it, and you're going to show this nice Sephora lady your AR filter so that you'd be like, find me this. And then she's going to put all the lipstick on your face, and you're going to walk out of there spending tons of money on things that you didn't want and weren't even included in the filter.
But how do I know what warm feel smells like or tastes like or whatever?
Like? Warm smells like vanilla, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway. Why didn't you just say vanilla then?
I agree. We do not need this technology. And AR is still somewhat of a high barrier to entry. They're working to make it more accessible to advertisers like you and I. So I guess that is the nice takeaway there. If you do want to play with this, they're trying to make it easier for folks with a lower budget to do it. But they have some other and I think more important updates that are coming to all the non-Sephoras out there. So they have enhanced interactive reels, which will have a larger call to action button with additional information about the advertiser, which is great. The button will include a thumbnail, a headline, and additional business details. So you can put your URL in there. It'll help direct interested customers to actually click. They're going to kind of see where they're going, which I like. On Facebook, users will also be able to pause a video ad and preview where the link will take them. They're saying this will increase click-through rates, hopefully, but it's nice. You don't have to watch the whole thing and then decide what you're going to do. You can pause and see where you'll go. And then for shopping ads, Reels will introduce a new multi-destination product ad format, which means that instead of an ad only pointing to a retailer's website or a single product, they can actually, users can swipe through multiple product images in a carousel within the reel that they're watching. I think all of that is actually really great and should hopefully drive more traffic and revenue, obviously for Meta, but hopefully for advertisers too. Fingers crossed. For creators, there are some big changes coming to the way that they're getting paid by the platform. Meta is testing a new payout model for its ads on Reels monetization program. It pays creators based on the performance of their public Reels rather than the earnings of ads on their Reels. So in addition to that change, they're also expanding the program to thousands more creators too. So opportunities are opening up. We'll see what happens with that. But I really do like those ad changes that we talked about in the middle there. I think they're making things more engaging and they're actually giving users more information. So hopefully that click is actually more valuable.
You can't even help yourself from making a pun. You didn't even know you made that one.
What did I say?
I said really.
Oh, but I do that all the time on purpose and nobody laughs. And now it's funny?
True fact. Yeah, that one's funny because you didn't mean it.
Get out of here. What else is happening?
Okay, Google is putting the fun all in Google Analytics 4.
Not fun me.
As custom funnel reports can now be created, and they will allow you to view the steps that you can follow to complete a task and assess the number of users who abandon the process between each step. So you might be thinking, how do you make that custom funnel report? Well, it's a little trickier than you might think. You need to use funnel explorations, and you have to save that as a report. And then Google Analytics will utilize the exploration as a template to construct the report. It's then in the report library. It will contain all the reports in a specific property. And then from the library, you can add the funnel report to the left navigation if you want to, so that you can find it again, essentially. So at least we have funnels in GA4.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week comes by way of Amalia E. Fowler on Twitter, Amalia Fowler in real life. And it's really Google's Take of the Week because Google gave an answer to a query that read, what does SEM stand for? This drives me crazy, SEM in general. Because it's an incorrect definition. And this definition is even more incorrect. But Google says that the rich snippet result is search engine optimization. That's the answer. Search engine optimization, full name is what it says. And then it goes on and says search engine optimization. Underneath it, there's a description that says search engine marketing. Search engine marketing, SEM, is a method of promotion to advertise and help companies' content rank higher among search engine traffic.
All of that's wrong.
Technically, it's right. It's all wrong because
it's all wrong.
Well, that's what SEM stands for. Search engine marketing.
But the highlighted part, yeah.
Yes.
But
no, you're wrong.
Oh, the promotion. I'm reading advertising to rank higher, and that's just like you can't do that, but I didn't see the part before.
It's all weird and wrong. And
everything's stupid.
Yeah. Because advertising is one of the P's, is promotion, P and marketing. I hate it that you have to call it SEM. It should be SEA. But whatever.
See.
it's better. It's just right. So just take solace. We just talked a lot about how smart and how cool some of this Bard and generative AI and Search Labs and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be. But this is real life right now when you search for what does SEM stand for? Search Engine Optimization. Thank you, Amalia.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
This week's ICYMI comes from Boris Beckrick at Boris Beckrick on Twitter, who noticed that Google had some options checked for asset enhancements, auto-generated video, and native formats when he was setting up dynamic remarketing campaigns. So some of the descriptions it gives is use asset enhancements. Let Google enhance your assets and optimize your ad layouts. This could improve ad performance. Second is use auto-generated video. So let Google create your video ads using your headlines, descriptions, and images. If you added your own video content, then your ads won't use auto-generated video. And then the last one, use native formats. Include native formats to expand your reach to more publishers. Adding native formats might also improve ad performance.
Might.
Might is the key word there.
And do not use auto-generated video. Whatever you do, take some time, hire somebody local, hire somebody online, whatever you need to do. The auto-generated video, from what I hear, has gotten better, but you can go use a tool and make something on your own.
Now it's time for this week's
pew, pew,
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in paid, Instagram is rebranding content ads to partnership ads. So this will allow advertisers to promote a wider range of organic Instagram content as partnership ads, including branded content with the paid partnership label, Instagram collab posts, app mentions, people tags, product tags, and other content not featuring the paid partnership label. So advertisers will also have the ability to create new partnership ads in the ads manager without needing an existing post. And Instagram has said they've tested this ad type and found campaigns combining partnership ads with business as usual, or BAU ads.
Bows.
Bows. Yeah. I don't like that. Results in a 53% higher click-through rate, 19% lower cost per action, and a 99% probability of outperforming Bows ads on their own.
That's a really high percentage.
Yeah, that's coming straight from Instagram. 99%.
It's also weird that you call a traditional ad a business as usual ad.
They don't know how we business. Yeah. There's nothing usual about it.
We're very unusual.
We are.
TikTok is launching a new premium ad option called Pulse Premier, building off of the existing Pulse ads, which will enable big brands to maximize ad placement alongside popular content in the app. So it's the same as Pulse ads, but with a topical placement element. So it's not just the generic top 4% of performers that you can place your ads alongside, but it will also be within verticals like lifestyle and education, sports, and entertainment categories for specific tentpole events, providing more value for specific brand partners.
Yeah,
tentpole events
are insane.
What do you think we're going to do? Let's run a couple of bows on some tentpoles.
The circus is in
town. No, we'll use the Pulse Premier, not the Bows.
Sorry, Nicole.
These seasonal...
Move over, Pumpkin Spice. Pulse Seasonal is here.
Take it all back. I'm not this free. I'm with the PSLs.
Oh my gosh.
I'm literally crying. Look at me, tables.
I'm sweating.
We need to keep that in.
This is insane.
Okay. Get it together, Craig. My glasses are fogged up, tables. Yeah. Look at this.
Where should I start? I'm just gonna
just keep going. He'll make it work. Okay.
All right, now back to the PSLs. So TikTok says that you can run ads across all of these particular marketing moments, cultural events, or season at a time when interest in the particular topic will spike, driving relevance for the brand. It'll also test seasonal lineups with Thanksgiving and winter holidays first. So this isn't coming out to all PSLs, but stay tuned for more.
Just in time for PSL season.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the Premier Soccer.
And then it also has Max Pulse, a new buying mechanism that allows advertisers to run their creatives adjacent to top 4% trending content across all categories on TikTok, in addition to those represented by the existing Pulse lineups, helping advertisers maximize their brand's reach and unlock the full potential of their campaign. Also worth noting is TikTok announced that it will be giving its top creators half the revenue from video ads shown immediately after their posts. So lots of big news for TikTok, Max Pulse, PSLs. All right, and on to another platform, LinkedIn. I believe this was sent to you in your inbox from a LinkedIn rep. There are important changes coming to sponsored messaging ads on LinkedIn. So the email says, "Hi, Greg, I wanted to let you know about important changes coming to LinkedIn messaging that will impact your message ad campaign starting May 22nd, 2023. Last year, we introduced Focused Inbox to make LinkedIn messaging more simple and intuitive. This year, we will evolve our sponsored messaging ad formats to work more seamlessly in the two-tabbed inbox experience." And it goes on to say your message ad campaigns will be impacted according to the following timeline. So listen up carefully for these dates, people. May 22nd, sunset begins. You may experience slower campaign delivery. June 19th, advertisers will not be able to create new message ad campaigns, and then July 31st, message ads delivery ends. So if you are running these types of ad formats on LinkedIn and want to minimize the disruption to your campaigns, we encourage you to shift budgets from message ads to conversation ads by June 19th. I hope you got all those dates down. And then it also says, please note that conversation ads will automatically evolve into conversation starter ads starting May 22nd with availability increasing over time.
Okay, so the CSAs are coming on 22nd. Yeah.
PSA, CSAs are coming.
In other news, Gmail is starting to show more ads, including in the middle of email lists. So Ben Shoon on 9to5 Google wrote about how he's been noticing Google's been turning up the dial on how many ads show in Gmail, both on mobile and the web. And he's been noticing ads within the inbox's updates filter. So that's an automatic filter designed to capture emails regarding orders, select promotions, billing statements, and more. And this was one of the only tabs out of the three default options, others being promotions and social, without ads for the longest time. But he's noticing now that you are starting to see ads in the updates tab. And it appears that these ads are being mixed in between real emails. And it's a little confusing. A lot of people on Twitter have been saying they've noticed this too, and it's been a really disruptive experience. And then he also provided an update at the end of the article saying in a statement to 9to5 Google, Google reiterates that it never sells data or uses data from Gmail for ads, that ads are not enabled for workspace accounts, but the company does say that it is experimenting with these new placements and formats. And Anthony Higman at Anthony Higman on Twitter noticed that there's a new Google Ads line chat support. And he attached a screenshot of a Google Ads help article that it kind of outlines what this line chat with your Google Ads expert means. And Google says, we're excited to be offering a new way to connect with your Google Ads expert to make staying in touch easier than ever. Now you can message your Google Ads account manager directly from line.me to the Google Ads line official account in your market. You'll be able to log into your Google Ads account so we can securely talk to you. So it looks like you can sign in with your associated Line.me account with your Google Ads account. And this helps them know who they're talking to and automatically connect you with a dedicated Google Ads expert.
This makes no sense.
And
can I log in with my Google Ads account? Then you know me?
Nope.
Is that possible?
No.
Why do I need a Line app? And Line is like a thing. It looks like it's like WhatsApp.
It looks like you can like use Line to do like chat support for your brand.
Yeah. I mean, so there's like
emojis. How is that more secure than just talking directly to your Google Ads expert?
And you then are on a third-party platform. Like, what on earth are we doing here?
This is out of Line.
Yeah, it just sounds like you can message through this app, and then it says they'll get back to you during business hours with some variation by local market. And then when you get a response, you'll get a notification in the app. It's like, I don't understand how this is more helpful than just emailing, and that's not helpful anyway now. So
yeah, none of it's helpful. It's just an alternate way to be disappointed.
And some more stuff from Google. Barry Schwartz on Search Engine Roundtable had an article covering some of Anthony Higman's other Google Ads uncoverings, the first being a Google Business Profile conversion action within Google Ads, and the second being a chats metric, which shows how many people have messaged your business using a Google forwarding number. He tweets, "Anyone know what chats are in Google Ads? Is this why call extensions have been all jacked up for the last few months? No info on the support page. It just takes you to automated assets."
And chat is full of spam.
Oh, for sure.
Do you get a lot of spam at your business?
No.
No, we get a ton of spam. And it's all people trying to waste your time. Like, I'm looking for a web development project. But they're not really. It's so strange. And they try to interact. And it's the shadiest.
I've had clients that do, for sure. They just want to offer their services, things like that. Yeah, it's not useful.
I don't even know how you get there anymore. You go to Google and you search your name and then you go find your chats, because there is no GMB anymore.
No. It's the hardest thing anyone's ever had to do.
So go in there and find your chats. Just don't use that conversion. Before we get to our organic section this week, Tables, I'm going to put you on the spot here. But if you haven't subscribed to YouTube, go subscribe already. I believe that we're having marketing tutorials coming out soon. This week, next week, Tables?
The first one was finished today. So
okay.
I don't know if we're releasing four in a row or one at a time.
Well, I think we'll do one a week, and we'll be doing some tutorials. We sort of, the first four are a lot of the same custom segments building. We're going to walk through how you can work in your ads accounts. So more than just a show and a podcast, we're going to be having more exclusive content over there on YouTube. So our show today, brought to you by Marketing Clocks YouTube. Please stop what you're doing and subscribe. We would really appreciate it. And on to the organic news this week. There was a significant overhaul last year, and a Twitter user named Zeno Panther has seen a new YouTube visual transformation. And it's on the video page, and it seems to be quite large and dark. A lot of the comments are over on the side. Everything is much more streamlined to the right side. To me, it looks more like the TV experience than it does the web experience. And another thing that is more prominent is next up videos, essentially. So there are more kind of like ways to discover more video content. It does seem like this was an experimental test, so take that with a grain of salt. And from Creator Insider, we have a confirmed new experience for YouTube pages. There will now be a For You section when you visit a page, where YouTube's algorithms will unveil what they think you will like the most from a channel and bring that to the surface. And one nice thing that you can do there is you can choose what kind of content you want to show. You could say, I only want recent content to appear in the For You. I don't want my shorts there. I don't want my live streams there. So that's a nice touch where you can have a little teeny bit of control and still let the algorithm do its thing. Additionally, if you have any empty tabs like a playlist, those will be hidden and you can still reach them, but it's just harder. And then the About will also not be a tab anymore. You'll still be able to find that, but it will not be front and center. And then there will be new content tabs. So if you're an artist, there'll be releases, there'll be podcast tab and a courses tab. The courses is only available in the US, South Korea, and India. And one thing that I love, I just love it when somebody tries to help people and not themselves, is that you can now feature a link on your header in YouTube. So if you wanted to send somebody to a course, or you wanted to send somebody to more information, or your store, you can do that right front and center in your description on YouTube. There's an example up on screen where they're linking over to a blog post on YouTube, and this will be live for everybody by the end of the year. Okay, next up, Google is no longer requiring video descriptions as part of structured data. Before, if you didn't have descriptions in your schema, it would show up as an error in the Search Console reports. It's now recommended, but not required. Moving on, Bing Chat is now available to more users and has more visual answers, chat history, and third-party developer capabilities. I really think the third-party aspect is going to be huge. Whoever can really bring in the community, I think, is going to be the best, you know, moving forward here. They also said over 500 million chats were conducted on Bing Chat since it launched 3 months ago. And there's five main points. So there's an elimination of the wait list. So it's going from limited preview to open preview. Those more visual answers, like I mentioned. They're offering multi-session experiences with a new chat history and persistent chats within the Edge browser. You can export and share Bing chats, and there's developer access. So that's pretty cool. Everybody's going blue here, including Gmail, as Google is launching blue check marks for verified brands in Gmail. The lack of creativity is
unbelievable. Pick a different color. It's all you have to do.
It looks exactly like Twitter, which looks exactly like Facebook's copy of Twitter, Meta's copy of Twitter. And if you want to have you be a verified brand, back in 2021, they launched BIMI, or the Brand Indicators for Message Identification, where you can use strong authentication to verify your brand logo to show that as an avatar in emails and Gmail. So go over to and get your BIMIs up done if you haven't yet. I thought this was really interesting, and I see this all the time, and it drives me crazy. But Darren Shaw, at Darren Shaw underscore on Twitter, had a particularly egregious example of fake review spam on Google. And he says, fake review spam is a huge problem on Google, and it's getting worse with AI-generated reviews. Check out this egregious example. I said the same word. Maybe I looked at that.
Or like, did you read ahead?
I didn't end this. I watched his video, so maybe I just like consumed it without knowing. He says, what do you think Google needs to do to solve this problem? And in this example, there was a particular, I believe it was a home service electrician or something like that, and it got 150 reviews in 48 hours. Some of the reviews were from people with the same name. Some of the reviews were identical. And you would think that Google could figure this out with all the intelligence they have. There's just no money in it to figure it out. But there should be, and you should be maybe not penalized, because then your competitor could do it to you, but this should be this is going to be a problem. There is so much review spam. There are companies that just do this all day long. They sell you a package for reputation management, and it's against the FTC guidelines and everything. But you would think Google could figure it out, but as you recall, they got rid of the dislike button because they couldn't figure out how to stop dislike attacks. So it's probably...
I've never heard you say that before.
I think about it once a day. All right, and from Search Engine Roundtable, Google says you should not disavow links via third-party metrics. So if you use a tool like SEMrush or Majestic or whatever you're using, don't use that as the Bible to disavow links. Disavowing links should be rare, if never. Follow Glenn Gabe, type in at Glenn Gabe, disavow on Twitter, and you'll see him go on diatribes. He talked about it on our show he was on Marketing Clock earlier this year. But there was a question posed to John Mueller. Could we have a negative impact by disavowing 170,000 referring domains with a zero DR, 32 million backlinks from a website? Like, why would you do that unless you like paid for them or they're like spammy? I don't know. If you don't have a penalty, don't worry about whatever. But John Mueller says, that seems like a terrible idea. And then parentheses. Also, none of those metrics are things Google cares about, as any SEO tool will tell you. Hopefully. So again, it's a rare occasion when you need to work the disavow tool, and usually Google will tell you about that. Okay. Lastly here, Amazon's in-app TikTok-like shopping feed is now available to all customers in the United States. And this rolled out back in December after they were experimenting it in the summer last year. It's short form video and photo feeds that allow consumers to explore products and ideas from content created by influencers, brands, and other consumers. There's a couple examples here. It looks like it's somebody called Neutrally Ashlyn here. And apparently she's schlepping earrings, and you can just go see her over in, I think she's in Laguna, and you can be like, oh, I really like those earrings, and get on over and purchase them. They say that you can get started by signing in and use the light bulb icon, aka the Inspire icon on the bottom navigation bar. And then you can choose your interests and see things like skincare, pets, gaming, and all that. And then you double tap anywhere on the screen to like the content you see, and then you can go through it by. And I was looking at Neutrally Ashlyn here.
I can't deal with the screenshot.
The screenshot came from Amazon, according to TechCrunch. And I was trying to read what Neutrally Ashlyn wrote, and it says, literally what is on screen. Last night in Laguna, cloud emoji, wearing a capital M in the butt.
I have... First of all, can we talk about, yeah, should it be an M?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's your issue?
That was the first issue.
But clearly stands for something larger like butter.
Okay. Maybe like butterfly or
something. She's got medium butter.
But that's what you pick Amazon?
Cholesterol?
Neutrally Ashlyn, you're gaslighting her saying she's got M in the butt? Like, what is going on? I don't know.
Sounds like me giggle, a main in the butt.
That's it in organic. What's happening in social, bud?
More M's in the butt. We will start. For those that care about the numbies, Mr. Elon Musk tweeted, we are purging accounts that have had no activity at all for several years. You will probably see follower count drop. So FYI, that may happen. He then followed up noting that the accounts that they're purging will be archived as opposed to deleted after someone commented basically comparing the purge to the tragic burning of the Library of Alexandria, which I had to look up. Saying that scrolls and books that were tossed in the trash because nobody wanted to keep them is worse, essentially. So ye on that one, but...
He's archiving it.
Yeah. He's archiving it, so the history is still there. That was right. The point. Somebody was don't burn the books. Okay. He's like, I'm gotcha. Not. But that's like a really strong example. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the good news is that the plan... So they're archiving these accounts, but it should still, theoretically, nobody knows how this is going to work in practice, free up the handles associated with said accounts. So... If you've been dying for the one that got away, now's your time to hopefully scoop it up. Nobody really knows how that's going to work, but check it out if you've been looking for something. Sticking with the bird here, good news for a lot of our listeners, Twitter will offer cheaper business verification packages for SMBs. So Senor Musk tweeted, we will have a lower cost tier for small businesses, but need to manage the onboarding of organizations carefully to prevent fraud. The $1,000 a month is meant for larger organizations. That's great. Love that. Do we know the cost? Of course not. Could be $9.99. We don't know. We'll find out.
I say $4.20.
You know what? Or like $69.69 mm-hmm. or $666.69. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's less than $1,000. Could be anything. They are also testing a new highlights tab on user profiles. So not the Fun Kids magazine that was at the doctor's office, but a place where users can actually showcase their best tweets. You'll get to define what best means. There will be an option in the tweet menu to add or remove from your own highlights. So that seems pretty cool. Whatever you want to show off, go right ahead. Tucker Carlson's back on the platform, which is apparently news. He tweeted, we're back. I don't know who this guy is, Greg. You put this in here. Why is this news?
I love your life. I wish I were you sometimes.
Thank you.
Like you
it
don't,
sucks. You don't know who Tucker Carlson is.
I do today.
So Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox News. I would say a fairly divisive person. I don't – I've maybe seen a clip on the internet of Tucker Carlson, not a big consumer. I think this is huge news. Also, the way that Tucker's video – I watched the video to see what's happening. Cool. Made it seem like he was brought in, and Elon said, there's no deal. You get subscription money and a cut of revenue, which was fairly interesting. He said, like all the others, like, which is a pretty big deal, I would say, for the Twitter platform in general. Like, again, I'm not, there's zero politics in this. I don't know, we're talking about political things.
We don't do that, yeah.
You're bringing in somebody major to be basically Twitter exclusive is what it seems like. And you're making money from subscribers and ad revenue. So I think in like the idea of helping, there must be a big revenue share is what I'm thinking, right? Like I know Elon's pushed that a lot of times they're only gonna keep 10% of things, which is pretty cool for like subscribers. So it'd be very interesting to see how this goes. And hopefully there's people from all sides of whatever you're on and there's all different opinions, but that's a pretty big get for Twitter, I would say. What do you think, Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, your first model of this being Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Mr. Carlson.
Yeah.
One last Twitter thing. According to Social Media Today, last week, some Twitter users in the U.S. started to see a new option to add a voice note to their DMs. And this was confirmed by the famous Twitter Daily News, a.k.a. at Twitter Daily, who shared a peek at what this looks like. And I hate it simply because I had to say the T word again, and I will not be recording that as a voice memo. But that's a cool option. Love to see it. From Forbes, Meta is apparently threatening to pull news content from Facebook and Instagram in Canada in response to a bill that would make social media platforms essentially pay publishers for their content. I feel like we've heard the story a million times, but this could equate to potentially hundreds of millions of dollars per year, according to the article. The bill hasn't passed through all the necessary channels yet, but it does seem to be moving. So we will see how this plays out in reality. We'll either tell you more about it if anything happens or we'll ignore it.
Also, no publisher wants this.
I don't think so. There was a whole thing about Robinhood in reverse that it was going to like support big broadcasters and not little publishers. You can read it if you want, but
like you should make it so you open it up in a like native browser of anything so that like you can't control ads like in the Facebook browser. But people want traffic.
I agree.
People want to be able to share stuff and get traffic.
Literally our business as usual. In an interesting turn of events, Facebook has overtaken Instagram when it comes to creator popularity here in 2023. TikTok and YouTube are still the top favorites, but who'd have thunk that Facebook would make a comeback? It's like a 1% difference, but that's important, the fact that creators are favoring Facebook over Instagram.
The bigger thing for me is there is one platform here, and I sound like a fanboy. I'm not, but somebody jumped 100%.
Who would that be?
The bird? Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter jumped from 4% up to 8%, which is a big deal. Again, the subscriptions is huge. Spaces is on Twitter. It's the leading audio platform. Elon has said that they're revamping video, and we've seen this, obviously, if they can rebuild it enough that Tucker Carlson can broadcast to folks, you probably will be able to as well. So don't sleep on that. That was the big thing that jumped out to me.
Yeah. The interesting thing here, too, is that it's 2021 versus 2023. I'm not sure why it's not year over year. No idea what happened in 2022, but those are the numbies. So you can look at it. We'll have it up on the screen. All right. From Ahmed Ghanem, he says, Instagram is rolling out the ability to receive message requests only from verified accounts to more users. This looks like it's something in testing, but that's cool. The platform is also testing a new generative AI sticker creation process, everybody's favorite, stickers that will enable users to create visuals in the app based on text prompts, which is cool.
That's kind of cool. The stickers kind of suck.
Stickers are stupid, and there aren't great ones out there, but I don't know if it's like making new stickers. It must be because it's not search. So it'll be interesting to see what they look like.
Nicole, do you only post in black and white on Instagram?
No, I'm back in color, fully back in color. So
you should still just make that your like gag. Like it's everything's black and white.
Just like the world. No gray areas. All right, TikTok announced a new destination for brands this week. Get excited. TikTok World Hub is designed to help brands learn how to connect with audiences and get discovered. They outline the platform's suite of advertising tools and best practices. There's four main topics here: branding, commerce, performance, and creative. And they also released what they're calling TikTok fundamentals. According to TechCrunch, it's a framework for brands to get the most out of their advertising campaigns on TikTok. According to me, it is a content light, buzzword heavy piece of shit. It says nothing. Don't read it, but enjoy. Also, for advertisers that are looking to make the most out of platforms that the kids are using, Snap has announced some new stuff at the new fronts last week, including First Story. This is kind of cool. It's an offering that lets advertisers be the first ad shown between friend stories in an app on any given day. So it's really good for broader awareness, like super heavy takeover stuff. They've also launched ad units within Spotlight, which is their TikTok-like feed of short videos. Don't scoff at that. The Spotlight feature is up year over year in usage 46% with 350 million monthly active users. So it's not a small audience if you do want to tap into that. And they're also working on Snapstar Collab Studio, which is an initiative aimed at better facilitating brand and creator partnerships. So Love to see that. On to LinkedIn, the platform is growing strong. They are now up to 930 million members worldwide and boasting continued high levels of engagement, which is awesome. The biggest growth markets over the last quarter are India, who's up 4 million members, the US, which is up 3 million, and Brazil is up 2 million. Where they are up in users, though, they are down in employees. LinkedIn did announce earlier this week that they're phasing out its local app in China for jobs, which is called InCareer. It's due to fierce competition and challenging macroeconomic climate. And as such, they are cutting 716 jobs. So kind of a bummer, but the platform is flourishing. So hopefully they'll create jobs elsewhere. And finally, here in social, just keeping the vibes rolling, Meta is shutting down Facebook's paid online event program, which I don't even remember what that was. It was a baby of Bruno, and it will now be resting in peace. R.I.P.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
All right, working hard for me this week, we have a whole agency scoop, our other podcast episode dedicated to how we have our client team structured here at Cypress North, our agency. But I would say that system is working very hard, especially with Shep going out on maternity leave. Our clients feel very well supported. There's not a lot of, it's not a weird transition. Just because she's out doesn't mean the rest of the team is. So working hard is how we do things around here, and I'm very proud of it. And our clients are happy. What about you, Nicole?
All right, working hard for me this week is the ClickUp extension. So we use ClickUp here for our project management tool. And I've been so resistant to putting the extension in because I just don't like making ClickUp tasks. I'm like a to-do list person. But I was sitting in the airport the other day and seeing all these emails come through. And I was just like, I need a ClickUp task for every email to remind myself to respond when I'm back in the office. And so I was just making ClickUp tasks all day long. That's an exaggeration, not all day long, but.
All right, for me, something hardly working is Microsoft advertising campaigns with no conversion data and target return on ad spend or smart bidding. I've just never had success trying to start something out of the gate with TROAS. Reps have said that it can work. I always have to seed it first with eCPC, get conversion data in, and then make that flip. I've just never seen it work. If anybody has seen it work, let me know, and I would love to hear that.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is a solid find I can get behind, and it's from Kim Dewey. That's at Kim Dewey on Twitter, D-E-W-E, by way of Aleta Solis, and it is Find SEO Tools, which is not one tool. It is a huge directory of SEO tools to help you filter and find what you need to get your job done, whatever that job may be. So from high-level needs such as rank tracking and competitor analysis to more niche things like Amazon SEO and local search, training courses, and more, you can browse the tools based on the category, what you're looking for, and then filter by free versus paid, which is really awesome. You can learn more about what each tool offers and even see interface previews. It's just a really great resource. And a bonus rhyme, just because I miss Shep already, this is a hub you should not snub. Trust me, you're going to want to bookmark this. So as always, we will have the link in our newsletter at marketingclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Matt Mombray of Cypress North, and he has an article called Is Google Analytics 4 a Tactical Move Away from Free Analytics? And Matt goes into how Google Analytics 4 is a measurable departure from previous offerings, the history, a shift from the free analytics mindset, if it is pay to play for reporting, some of the API limit issues, Looker Studio issues, fewer stats, and then how you can see accurate data, and then why you kind of need BigQuery, and how could it possibly be more of a cash grab, thinly veiled cash grab, let's say. So it makes you think. And then the co-founder of Google Analytics commented on it and sort of supported that as well, which was pretty cool. So if you wanted to see that and some of the challenges that we're facing here at Cypress North, Matt has an awesome post over on cypressnorth.com. Thank you, Matt.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingoclock.com. What's going on your Spotify marketing playlist this week, Jess?
I'm going with The Messenger by The Tea Party.
Right. And Greg?
I'm going to go with a song that we heard at lunch on Friday. We're on a team lunch. Gooey by Glass Animals.
And my song of the week is going to be Charmed by Stella and Redino. All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we cover. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck, where after our famous Friday digital marketing news shows, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And this week, we're just going to play a brand new game. I think we might have played it once before.
Have we?
I think so.
I didn't have a list, so.
These are just called Words That We Like. Words That We Like.
Is this no one's favorite game?
This is everybody's favorite game.
Is it?
Yes.
It's going to be our favorite game.
Everybody's favorite game.
Pretty hard.
All right. So, Tables, you in on this?
Oh, I'm in.
Okay. Start with you, Tables.
Okay. I'm going to go with facetious.
Ooh, good one.
Good SAT word.
Do you like it just because it has feces kind of baked in there?
No, just kind of sound like a smart ass. You know, I'm just being facetious.
Yeah, and you sound smart calling somebody a smart ass, exactly. Which is nice.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole.
Schadenfreude.
What?
Good one. Why don't you explain that for everyone?
Okay, so the definition, because I knew somebody would ask, is pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Ooh. How do you say it?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. I think it's German, right?
Sounds
it. Seems like.
Yeah.
Oui.
Yeah. All right. Up for me, first favorite word, bard. No, I'm joking. It's very close, though. And it reminded me of it because people were talking about it in the Golden State game. I'm sure you guys watched. Mm-hmm. Gary Payton Jr.
For sure.
It ran right out the court. Was on the court. Barfed in his mouth. I like the word barf.
You actually do?
Yeah, it's funny.
I don't like it.
It's like you can't take somebody serious if they say the word barf.
No. And barfed, the way you just did it in past tense, was me.
Yeah. No. But he did it and then he just ran right off the court while the play was going on.
Hmm. Well, I think barf is a good example of my first word.
What would you like better than barf? Vomit? I don't like vomit.
Puke? I prefer throw up.
Throw up.
Puke isn't good either.
I never really get that. I don't get it. You're not really throwing any. Like you're not throwing anything.
You're not barfing.
It literally is barfing.
Jess, you're up. Onomatopoeia.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's fun to say. That's a chalky pick.
What's a chalky pick?
Your pick.
What does that mean?
It means it's like you looked at a list.
No, I didn't.
If you were looking at the odds, onomatopoeia would be on there.
Get out of here. No, I will read you my whole list if you want.
Okay, no.
They're all like this. I like words that are not easy to say.
All right, Tables, back to you.
All right, I'm going to go with touchdown because sometimes when obviously you're just watching the football game and your team scores, you yell touchdown, everybody yells touchdown. It's a good time.
Okay.
Okay.
I see that.
My next word is Wednesday. Two reasons, because when I spell it in my head, I go Wednesday.
We all do.
The second reason is because I like Wednesday Addams.
All hail the queen.
I figured that was the reason. Okay, I think I said this last time, so I'll just put it in as an honorable mention because I want to make sure we're really delivering here with the absence of Shep. Dongle. Love the word dongle.
Good word.
Also, I'll go with a real one. I've said it a bunch this week, twice this week, flummoxed.
You did say that this morning.
Yeah.
I heard you say that.
Yeah, I love the word flummoxed. It's like a better word of meaning like I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's nice. Here's another one that I thought of myself and nobody's going to know it except local folks. I like Skajakwita.
Oh, that's fun to say.
The name of Route 198. Yeah. And we had a friend in college who could not pronounce it for the life of him. So we would like teach him to do the syllables with his shoulder and he'd be like, Skajakwita. And he finally learned it. And I just, wow. It's so fun to say Skajakwata or Skajakwata if you really want to butcher it.
I can never spell that or come close to that or Canandaigua.
That's which a good
is
a, one too.
Which is a town around mm-hmm, here. Yeah. But it's really I've been trying to like figure out Canada G-U-I-A, I think. I've been like trying to learn it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tables.
Okay. So I've been in many, I guess, debates and I've lost a decent amount. And I love saying touche.
That's a good one. Yeah. Again, it's like a foreign word. It's French, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It's pronounced touche, though.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start saying it like that.
Touche.
Touche.
I think you'll lose the argument if you end it on touche.
Armageddon.
Mm. Okay. You big Liv Tyler fan or what?
I don't know who that is.
She was. Yeah. Bruce Willis.
No? R.I.P.
He's alive.
In advance.
Wow.
Everybody's going to die at some point, Jess.
I know. It's sort of subject.
Okay. All right. And I will go with, I just love this word, shenanigans. It's a great word. People smile when you say, what are you up to with those shenanigans? And if I was ever going to open a bar, I'd call it shenanigans.
I'm sure there's 75 bars.
I've never seen a bar named shenanigans. Every town should have a shenanigans bar, and it should be the funnest dive bar ever.
You could open a chain of shenanigans.
That's a great
idea. You could open them shenanigan and again and again.
Touche.
That was such a good ending. I shouldn't even say my word. Kaleidoscope. It's fun to say.
It is.
And fun to look at. Kaleidoscope.
Very.
Or through.
Yeah. Just looking at it over there at school.
Okay. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.